Welcome, welcome, one and all, to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Highland Radio, the biggest and the best independent station in Ireland. Thank you, Michaela, for the news. The legendary Ivan Borland for the Power Plus. Joe Dex is here, producing as ever with his nice little beard there. Joe's coming on well. I'll tell you that. Listen, folks, what a show we have in store for you this evening. It was out and about, as I say, folks. Everybody,
don't even think about buying a bed until you've checked out Restex beds. Famous for their.
Sorry, good man, Joe. Somebody's butting it. Back off, this is my show. Folks, I said out and about at the weekend, myself and Brendan Kilcoyne and Oisin were bringing you a memorable bit of radio from Celtic Park in Derry, where Niamh Patrick became also club champions, creating history. What a story and what a day. We're going to hear from a couple of the people involved. All interviews are up on highlandradio.com as ever. I'm going to play some bits from then. Of course, the Dunlow ladies, the minor ladies, are flying it high. They're in Ulster final now on December 7th after posting a brilliant 220 scoreline, beating O'Donovan Rossa 220-3-9. Mia O'Donnell there with a 112. I think she registered that as some hitting there. Well done to you, Mia, player of the match there. Fantastic. Got to get the old player of the match right there. Of course, we'll then be talking. I'm going to be speaking with Downing's chair, Owen Byrne, as they prepare for the All Ireland Football Junior semi final. Their ladies' team are flying high, Ulster champions already. They have a home tie this weekend, and we're going to get the crack with him. We'll then speak with Kerry legend Tomás O'Shea. I want to talk to Tomás about the recent GAA management merry-go-round. And of course, the seven new rules that are about to come on. Always great to catch up with Tomás. Then we're going to have a bit of score chat and a few performances. Something unique here and something new on the DL Debate. Fergus McGee, our chairman from last year, county chair, he is going to be up two years ago now. Actually, he's going to be up and he's going to be telling us about the score. And he's going to have two Donegal champions with him, Matthew Devaney and Katie Coyle. They're going to actually perform their pieces as well for us. So really looking forward to that. As I say, under 21 championship has gotten to the final stage. Going Swally getting the better of Gador at the weekend in a tight game and a huge one for Four Masters over Niamh Connell in the under 21 championship. So that's Four Masters against Glen Swally, and that should be a cracking final. The B final will be contested by Clonmacnoise and Burt, and the C final has already been won. St. Noel's getting the better of their neighbours in Killybeg. So as I was saying, we were in at Celtic Park at the weekend to see what was an epic match and another victory for the brilliant men of Niamh Patrick and Muff. Caught up with their manager Daniel McCauley after the game.
I'm here with Daniel McCauley. Daniel, I spoke to you a few weeks back. You know, you're I suppose bonus Terry, people call Ulster, but yous have given it some rattle. Not just rattle, you're Ulster champions. How does it feel?
Unbelievable, Bren. Can I get my head around it? This feeling surreal. We were confident coming into it, Bren, but see when the final whistle goes and you realise you've actually got to the top of the perch. It's unbelievable, hey. Yeah. Unbelievable.
I was saying at half time you had a big job to do, because Craig Bannett started pushing up on your kickouts, you were getting a bit of joy physically, they were starting to control a bit of the play. But at half time you get on Lynch, and I thought your best play would have seen you this year. The two boys inside and try and release him, and you profited. And of course, goals again.
Goals have been vital all year. We've been banging goals in all year. Our point tally is fairly low today, considering the form we've been on this last few games. But we knew Kevin had good 30 minutes on him, and we held him back, and we just said let him loose it at half time. And we could have started on playing for 30, but we felt as it would be better. No, coming in the final second half, you know, because that's where he does his business. You've seen at the end there, Bren, he caught a few balls and the defensive side of it, and that's what Kevin's all about. Yeah. He can play anywhere in the pitch for you.
Yeah, and he won a couple of kickouts as well, and you could see obviously he was a bit rusty. The first give and go he did be keeling, the legs just a wee bit on him. But he still has that presence, and even though his goal was a tap-in, very different from Keelan's wonder goal, it was the right place at the right time. But the two lads, again, there's just such a spear for you up front now. Your whole team play brilliant, don't get me wrong, but the two lads' his ability inside, it just gives you such weapons.
Oh, it does. How do you mark them? One 6'7" and another's roadrunner. So you have to three or four men around them, like, you know, they contain them, and even at that, like, you're going to still be struggling, because you can go high, you can go low, and the secret to big Kevin is Kevin can play with the foot, with the ball, but his feet as well. Like, he's not just that big forward. His all-round game's excellent. Like, and as he's seen for his goal, his instinct is that poacher's instinct. He knew where to be, right place, right time, back in it. And he's done that all year for his World Championship, and we were delighted what he contributed.
And Daniel, I know what it's like on the line. You have that cushion, and you always think, we have a cushion. It's never a comfortable place, because you know this was a second half team coming down, coming back from 8 points the last day. You were thinking, though, they might need a goal at times. You're thinking the cushion was there. Of course, 4 points up going into the last minute, and that bang, were you thinking, will there be an opportunity for that equalising point? But it didn't come.
No, thankfully it didn't. The referee was true to his word. He played the three and bang on the three when that goal went in. When the kick out came, he blew the whistle, which was delighted for us, because you know you're celebrating. They had the adrenaline and they won that kick out, and he plays another 30 seconds. We're in baller, like, but frankly, it was in the air. He blew the whistle, and as you can see, the feeling was great.
Yeah, well, listen, I think you certainly deserved it, Daniel. What about now? Everybody's going to be, this crowd's going to be booking flights. You're heading across the water for a massive game in England.
Aye, the boys been chatting about it this last week, Bryn, and we've kind of kept the chat about it. He says we don't talk about it, lads. We have to get Saturday over us first, so we'll get a look now at the British final tomorrow. I think it's Tara London's and Roger Casement's. Is it Warwickshire or
yes,
London?
Yes,
so we'll try and get a look at that tomorrow. Hey, I don't know if it can stream. And then we'll try and get booking flights or boats, whatever suits. You know, it's going to be mad the next 2 weeks getting the logistics of it all sorted. But as I spoke to Kieran McMillan through the week, I hope it's a headache me and him having Sunday.
Right. And listen, I can only imagine the bond you've created, because as you go through different steps of championship, it gets tighter and tighter. The more pride comes into the parish, and of course that lovely tribute to Evan Craig at the end.
Look, it's Bryn, people don't understand, like, you know, how close to the group Evan was. Bar three or four players in that group, I've coached them all from underage. Two or three of them players, the first day at Gaelic football, I was their manager, I was their coach at under sixes, under eights, under nines. And we've been involved in the whole way through to here, and that's some journey, Bryn. And Evan's been a part of it, and he was so sadly, tragically took away from us, and it's heartbreaking. And when we come out to the training field every night, we thank Evan before every game. We pay a tribute to him before we go out, and we just made Evan a promise and his parents a promise that we'd get them to Donegal. And then the night we won Donegal, we told them we'd get him an Ulster medal, and that was just full focus, Bryn. The Thursday after the county final was won, we went full throttle for Evan, and we went to a mass last night, and it was beautiful. Like, and I'm not saying I'm a great mass goer, but it was absolutely beautiful. And you can have all your speeches and motivational speakers in, but that last night was unbelievable. The bond would come from that. And a chapel, we were all in. It was a tribute to people who've died young before us. And it was so heartbreaking for me, because there's so many people that have been through so much tragedies. And Bryn, football, as I explained to these boys, is only 60 minutes of your week. There's so much going on in the outside world. And like, that's important. And when we get this breakaway of sport, Bryn, it's brilliant. And them young lads there, every single one of them are a credit. I love them all the bits. What they've been through, Brendan, and they haven't let it affect them. And they could have went off the rails, but their focus was, we're going to get their best friend a couple of championship medals. And I'm so proud of them all, because the effort they put in is unbelievable.
Brilliant, you said, Daniel. Listen, sometimes, you know, football, as you said, is on the pitch. I think everything you went through here this season has been above that. But it's been such a nice way, such a tribute, and such a lift to the village.
It's been brilliant, and to Evan's family, like, you know, it's not, if this helps him any wee bit and gives him that wee bit of shine and light, you know, what we're still carrying his name, that's brilliant, because Joe and Grace are two fantastic people, hey, and my heart breaks for them just.
Yeah, listen, what an interview from Daniel McCauley there, you know, just covered everything, you know, very touching, very moving, and everything that's associated with their season, and of course with Evan Craig's sad passing. Folks, Joe McLaughlin, there's some great interviews up on the site along with that. I'd love to get playing a bit of Joe McLaughlin's if I get time in a bit. He's their chairman, and I love going out and meeting people. Yeah, it's a brilliant interview. Joe's up there giving a few words just about the buzz about the village, and I managed to get a couple of the players as well. They say all up on highlandradio.com. If I get time in a bit, I'll play that. But first up, we're going to turn our attention to the Junior All-Ireland semi-final, and Owen Byrne is on the line. Owen, are you hearing me?
Hey, Brendan, I am. Yeah, thanks for having me on. How are you?
Owen, my apologies and that at the weekend. I don't know where I got Owen Coyle out of. Owen Byrne, of course, a man that's come a long way to this Downing's club, but made a big, big impact. You came to Downing's. Love brought you to the village first, was it?
Ah, yeah. Well, that's, I think that's been the story for a lot of people. Love brings you a lot of places. So, yeah, my wife was from Downing's, and He moved up here about 17 years ago, so I'm still a blow-in, though, you know.
Ah, listen, after the service you've given, I don't know. And you're, how long are you chairman now? You're there a long time. You've overseen a lot of changes there. That you've certainly done your bit for the club.
I've been the chairperson 10 years, but listen, you're only as good as the team you have around you, you know. So I suppose a few good things have happened to us over the last while, but... like I said, that's all a team effort, you know.
Yeah, certainly. And tell me, Owen, the buzz around Downing, you know, very few clubs will ever experience, you know, an Ulster final win and a home tie in an All Ireland semi final. You know, Kilcock Kildare coming down to you this Sunday. It's a huge occasion, Owen. Can you put into words, you know, what the feeling is in Downing's around the game and I suppose the pride in this team?
I don't know if I can put it into words. That's the honest truth. I mean, it's incredible. You know, there's just such an excitement about the place around this team, around what they've achieved and around what they might achieve in the future. You know, the whole community is really behind the team. Everywhere you go, there's flags and bunting up and just a real buzz of excitement wherever you go. You know, we're expecting a huge crowd, obviously, on Sunday. You know, we've never hosted an All-Ireland semi-final and not many teams, you know, not many clubs have, and it's just an amazing place to be, and so happy for the girls as well that, you know, they're getting a bit of success. They've put so much work into themselves over not just this year, but over a long number of years. You know, you go out there any evening in the winter, and they're just training away in all weathers, and it's so nice to see them reaping the rewards now.
Yeah, all weathers is right. There's very few teams still on the go at this point. Oh, and just around the fact that you could have a home tennis, a lot of these games would be played, you know, either neutral, provincial, county grounds, wherever they end up being played. You know, the fact that you've got this game at home is going to make it so special.
It really is, yeah. Like, we've had a few big days, you know, in Downing's here. We've hosted Gaeltacht tournaments and, you know, probably most recently was 2018, but we've never had something like this, you know, a standalone game, an All-Ireland semi-final. And I think it's going to be really, really special. We're so excited about it. It's a big, big weekend for the club. You know, obviously we've got the All-Ireland semi-final. We're running our big fundraiser on the Saturday, a helicopter drop. So we're giving away €35,000. So Cookie wouldn't forgive me if I didn't mention that.
And oh,
that you can get tickets at helicopterdrop.ie.
Yeah. Cookie used to be handy for the football special. Listen, a great man. Listen, you've got some great stalwarts around that club, all good people. Who's chucking the ball? Better not be a Barney anyway, because he'd miss the target.
Jesus, I don't know. We haven't decided who's throwing the ball out yet, but we're definitely not letting Barney fly the helicopter anyway.
No, just in case, that's right. But listen, great idea in the fundraiser. And listen, when you only know behind the scenes, you know, what it takes every year. You know, it's such a huge effort just to make all this happen. And I know as chairman, you just want people playing and enjoying the club and the town and that. So to have this, you know, while you're chairman, it must be such a special time to see, you know, not just the work that you're doing behind the scenes there, but to see the teams, you know, really excelling on the pitch.
Ah, yeah, listen, it's fantastic. And like, you know, you know what, it's one brings on the other, you know. Like, obviously getting to this stage is brilliant for the girls. Like, we only started our senior ladies team 7 years ago, you know, and, you know, like, that's such a short space of time. And to see them now as Ulster champions is just an incredible thing. And going into a game as good as this is amazing. But as well as that, you know, the fact that they're having the success and the fact that they're doing so well, you know, that's only going to encourage others. It's going to inspire the next generation. So it probably propagates itself that, you know, if there's another great ladies team out of this club in 10 years' time, it's probably going to be off the back of what these ladies are achieving now. And I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic indeed. Listen, on behalf of us all here in Highland, of course, the whole county, we wish you all the best. Say, we hope you make the final.
Oh, thanks a million. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Top man, Owen Berner, Downing's chairman. After the break, we're going to speak with Tomás O'Shea. Yes, everyone, welcome back. Tomás O'Shea is on the line. How are you, sir?
Hey, Brendan, how are you?
That's a nice lampshade you have there.
Jesus Christ, sorry.
You're fine.
How are you keeping?
Hey, nice to see that smiling face. Tomás, the last time I seen you were in New York, the furthest I've ever been invited is London. I thought I was doing well there, but big shots to you get the New York for GA gigs. I like it.
Well, New York is the best town in the world, Brendan, as you well know. So any chance you get to go to travel to New York, they're fanatical about the GA, they're fanatical about everything Irish, and anytime they go out, you go out. We tend to be on I suppose, party mode. So it was. It's always great to go out there, and it was a brilliant trip. And you were enjoying it yourself?
Was indeed. Enjoyed the night, as ever. Sure, having yourself up on stage with Dublock and McConville. Sure, listen, when you could never get tired of that. Tell me, Tomás, listen, I was just wondering, first of all, the wee bit of managerial merry-go-round. Paddy Talley, what is his legacy there at Kerry in terms of what his impact was there? And do you think he's the right man to steady this Derry ship?
Yeah, I think, look, time is obviously going to tell, Brendan. I think inter-county management is a tough gig. I think Paddy Talley is a highly regarded coach. The first time I ever came across Paddy Talley was I was involved in UCC and we played St Mary's, Belfast in a Sigerson. And it was around the time, it was a good few years ago, it was just around the time that defensive football was really coming in and their counter-attacking play. A lot of people will say that Paddy Talley is an ultra-defensive coach and etc. Like, but I wouldn't agree fully with that. I think he, if you're a defensive coach, you have to have a plan in terms of counter-attacking, and I think he does have that. I think he is a very, very solid coach, and I think he has served Kerry very, very well. I think logistically it was always going to be a nightmare for him to keep it going. I think he did very well staying as long as he did. I think this year his role, from my understanding, and I even though I'm involved with the Kerry 20s, I never saw Paddy coaching or anything like that, but I know that the Kerry lads, a great time for him. It's going to be very difficult going into the Derry job, I think, Brendan, because there's an amount of, like, Mickey Hart went in there, and Mickey Hart would have had a good track record. I think it's a tough, because of what's happening in the background with Gallagher, I think every single, or anybody who takes on that job, there seems to be a little bit of pressure with it. The fact that it's an outsider again taking on the job, I think it just puts the spotlight on them. And the problem with that is if there's a loss or two in the league and pressure starts to gain, no matter what's happening inside, I'm sure the Derry lads had a fine season with Mickey Hart inside, but that's not what was being perceived from the outside. And that's where I think Derry will want to hit the ground running. They have the players, they have the talent. I've seen them at under 20 level for the last number of years. There is a serious amount of players coming, young, good players coming into Derry, so the future is bright. Is Paddy Talley the man? I'm not too sure. I think, as I said, management is a very, very tough gig. I think it's a really difficult job. But I think, look, there doesn't seem to be too many people putting their hand up. I would imagine that if they could, they would have picked somebody from the inside. Paddy Talley is the guy they went for. He obviously interviewed for the job and deemed the best man to take it on. But it is a tough role and it's a tough job because of the fact of what's happened there in the last 2 years. So there'll be a bit of pressure with it.
Yeah. Listen, Tomás, I haven't seen your club this year. Good luck to you boys and county setup. So maybe if they're well rewarded, that could be the only thing. Tomás, tell me, I would love to talk to you about other managerial jobs, but tell me, the seven rules, you've seen so much in football over your time. Is this too much? Or what's your feeling? I know the game needed changing, but to me, they put too many brains in one room and everybody maybe had to chip in. Do you know what I mean? I'm nearly like, right, let's keep it simple. You know, there's so much in this, Tomás. Is there anything in there? I mean, it looks like from talking to people, the seven are going to come through. What's your feeling on it?
Well, I look at it, I suppose I haven't spoken to many people about it. I've chatted to him, and Fitzmaurice would be the only guy. I trust him. I think he's a good football brain on him. Yeah. I think that the rules being brought in are brought in for a specific reason, Brendan, speed the game up and try to create more space around the field. I would love to see a quicker game. I would love to see a game that does not involve every single member of the team inside their own half. I know you're still going to have defensive football. Defensive football is here to stay. It's just a matter of how many fellas you can defend with rather than the full team. I'll be honest with you, Brendan. I'd like to see them trialled out. And I'd like to see it in a way that after a year, we can say safely, yeah, X, Y, Z works. It makes it better. I think you hit the nail on the head there where you said that the best brains in the country came together. I think they did I think they did it brilliantly. I think they got everybody's ideas. They got the public. They got their lads inside in their rooms. They travelled around the country. They sold it properly. They showed exactly what it means. They showed the way it's going to work. There's a few of them I like. I like the three up. I think that'd be good. I like the fact that the arc, in terms of the 2 points, I actually like it. A lot of people don't agree with me. I like it, the fact, because teams will have to push out a few of teams that can hurt you with 2 points. They'll have to, you can't sit deep. You can't defend the goal at all costs, because 2 points will now, outside that arc, be more valuable than a goal. I like the tap and go. I don't think, you see, I think, Brendan, give it a year, because I think it's going to take clubs, not clubs, but I think it's going to, I think the clubs is a situation that might be a difficulty for them, actually. But I think it'll take counties a good 6 months to get used to these and embed them into their heads, because no matter what, we'll still play the same way we've been taught. So changing rules, it is radical, but I do think we should give it a lash and see what happens after a year. If we sit down and say, OK, I think this one will work, this one will work, this might need tweaking, this one we don't need at all. Up until now, what rule, like that Mark was brought in, there've been nothing. Like, the game is in trouble, Brendan. I think we all agree on that. Sure. I think
thanks to us boys in Ulster.
Yeah, you can win. Well, you can win games with a lesser team than the opposition, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And don't get me wrong, I see the coaching that goes into it. I see the mentality that goes into trying to get the best out of players and setting them up a certain way. I get that, all within the rules. But I think the reason this was set up was to make the game more appetising to watch. That was the main reason that it was set up.
Yeah.
So it isn't for the actual, I think the players have no problem. I think they'll adapt. I think it'll take a while. I think it's going to be very difficult for it. And I've seen articles today in the newspaper about it. It's going to be very hard. Like, you saw referees making mistakes above in Croke Park. I think the games on the second night were better than the games that were on the first night, which means in even a day with a management team that they don't know, that they were able to focus in on areas where they could improve and benefit from the rule changes. So if you get a team who have months of this, who have a national league behind them, let's just wait. Forget the national league. Let's wait till championship and let's see what happens after championship. I'd be well up to having a look at what the rules are proposed, because I think they're being brought in for the right reason. Yes, maybe 7-8 rules are a lot, but let's just see what happens. Let's see. I'd hate
Would you like to be a defender now, Tomas? You know, the way, I'm just thinking about a couple of them there. The tap and go thing. So you play in there forward. You're trying to win the ball. You both go down. You're looking at the ref. If you say it wasn't a free, the guy's tapped and he's gone. You can't actually touch him for 4 metres. I think there's going to be... Now, if you're on about league football, I think, oh, fair enough. But going into the championship, there could be some crazy wee moments. And the thing about not being able to play it back to the keeper, but the keeper can play in the opposition half, means that...
Yeah,
say,
I don't agree with that.
If you have a brave keeper, right, he could then cause an overload. And if you have less players, obviously you're defending with the 11 out instead of the 15. If you are a team like that, you could have a keeper coming through then who will have space. I don't... Listen, as you said, it's a trial. I don't want to be too harsh on it, but there are a couple of obvious ones.
Yeah, but I think, Brendan, on that, I think, you see, the more homework teams do on it, and exactly, like, I guarantee you, you'll have teams who really, really have focused in on the rules. They'll come up against a team that haven't done a pile of homework on the rules. They will benefit from everything that they're doing. So if you have a quick free and a team haven't been coached, right, if he is a quick free, you have to revert the 4 metres, you have to give him that space, but then you get a tackle in. If teams aren't doing that, you'll have teams complaining straight away after the game. The more the teams understand it, the better chance, I think, it is of succeeding. So I even see it now. I see refs have kind of put their... And I suppose, look, you need everybody speaking about it. Referees have spoken about the possible problems that they could have with it. I don't genuinely think, with all the time that we have spent bringing in the rules, that I think it would be wrong to... But no, having said that, Brendan, they'll go up to Congress and who knows what will stay or what will go. But if they stay, I think they should be given a proper go and let teams... I think a couple of are here to stay. I think the three up will be here to stay.
Yes.
I think yeah, there's a few that possibly will be questionable, but I do think you should all wait until don't turn around after the first National League game and start complaining and giving out about all these rules. Give them, because geez, they're still playing football and competitions right now that have no bearing or no rules applied. It's the new competitions that start in January that'll have them. So look, I personally, because I'll be interested, I'll be watching, I'm involved with the Kerry 20s, and I'll be watching. We're lucky. We're not into competition until late March, early April. So we will have seen all the National League. We'll have seen the start of the Senior Championship. And at that stage, I think all the pluses and negatives and where you can actually benefit and take advantage of teams will all be highlighted. So we should be hitting the ground running. But I'm actually excited about it, I think. There's teams around the country training at the moment with the new rules in place. And the one thing I'm hearing is if you are still playing, Brendan, you'd love it. There's a small bit of space. If teams move the ball quickly enough, there's going to be trouble up the far end.
Yeah.
And the one thing I'd say, Brendan, as well, I saw the look, and it's, you can't judge on it because of the interprovincial games that they had. There was high scoring there. And there was people complaining that there was too much of high scoring. Are we going to go from, like, are we going to be okay with 1-8 to 7 points or something? Listen, for a full match, or 4 points to two after a half an hour's football? So what if there's a lot of scoring? Yeah. Teams will come around that and they'll curtail it down a bit.
Yes.
But I do think we should give it a lash and see where it goes.
I'm well up for that. A bit of space if there's not an O'Shea marking you. And everybody in under-20s, be ready, hey, because Tomás O'Shea's got a master plan with these new rules. I'm going to be tuning in to watch these Kerry boys. Absolutely keen.
Like, it is, you see, this is the magic of it, Brendan. Like, we are all being told, look, it'll speed up the game, it'll create more space, but yet we haven't trained and we haven't seen how. Like, okay, I put it to you like this. If three players have to stay up.
You'll find
if your goalie back, you're allowed 11 outfield players to defend. Now, if you're going to be slow moving that ball, there's going to be 11 outfield players back. End of story. Okay, you can't bring your three up, so you're going to be playing probably 9 or 10 against 11. And that's just the way it's going to be. So if you're not prepared enough to move that ball quickly, I think it's all there. I think even the kick out to the 40-yard, it's inviting teams to press up instead of dropping back into your defensive shape. Go after teams. I think the one thing that stuck in my head that I was told at the very start by somebody involved was these rules are to benefit the attacking team. So if you're brave enough and you have the footballers good enough to do it, like, I think Donegal will be excited by it.
I think
they will do very, very well. And I think they'll be excited about it because you can still, if you're good enough at slowing teams down, Brendan, you'll still get your defensive shape.
Yeah.
Okay, indeed, if you're slow at slowing teams down, you're going to struggle with these rules.
Yeah, 100%. Joe Dex, defensive shape, you know all about it. Aye, that was brilliant, Tomás O'Shea. Much appreciated, lad. Looking forward to seeing this Kerry team when the championship comes on. I'll chat to you then.
Thanks, Brendan.
Appreciate it, man. Back to you after the break. Welcome back, folks. We've got some special guests in the studio now. Fergus McGee, Matthew Devaney. I've met you before, have I? Katie Coyle from Score Success. Fergus, these are two county champions. You know all about scoring an Oak. You are the man in that field. Tell us a wee bit about it, because of Matthew, been introduced properly to it this year.
Yes, Brendan, and thanks very much for having us on your show. It's great to get an opportunity to come on the DL debate to talk about the likes of this here. You know, Score started away, I suppose, in 1969. Winter sports was the thing. It was way back in the day when you had senior football and senior hurling and not much else. Like, you know, so there was, in the winter time, people sang, danced, music and stuff like that. It started away in South Armagh, South Down. And in 1969, a guy called Derry Gowan, he was a Corkman, he passed a motion at Congress. And the first Score took place in 1970. And in 1973, Score and Anog, which is where Matthew and Katie would have taken part in this year, that started up then. And over the years, you know, Donegal has taken, you know, has done quite well in Score. We were talking about earlier on there. Recitations, novelty acts, instrumental music, ballad group, and the quizzes would be the strong points from a Donegal point of view. And Matthew and Katie this year came along in St. Eunan's, and Katie is the current Ulster champion, and she's, I think, a four times county champion as well as that in solo singing. And I think she's correct me there. Maybe it was three. I was giving her one too many there.
Or five.
Oh, five, yeah. Sorry. One had taken off her there. Sorry about that. And Matthew was just a pure breath of fresh air, came in this year and did a very, very old. But the beauty about what they're doing is the songs, and I'm hoping they'll maybe get a wee chance to give a wee bar to you of both, if that would be possible, Brian.
Oh, yeah,
because
of course, yeah,
what Matthew has is a
put on my hat there for this. Matthew's dressed up here, as you can see. I get my wee Peaky's hat on for you.
Matthew's piece is a piece that's 200 years old, and Katie's song that she sings is very, very old as well. They won the county final, and they were very, very unfortunate, I felt myself, not to have progressed to the Ulster final. But I would like to wish luck while I'm here, just if I get an opportunity, Bren. The other clubs that took part, the county champions in Donegal this year, were Niamh Columba in the quiz. We had Niamh Connell in the Cayley dancing. We had Katie, of course, then in the solo singing. And in the recitation, we had Matthew. The ballad group, then, we had Dunlow. In the novelty act, we had Dunlow. And in the instrumental music, we had Cloughinealy. And Cloughinealy and Dunlow and Niamh Columba will all be taking part in the Ulster final on Saturday, and that's in Silverbridge.
Yeah, we wish them all the best. Matthew, first year in, what did you make of the score? You've done a bit of acting and singing and different things, but a different experience. Of course, representing St Unions.
Yes, I mean, score was pretty good. It was a bit of fresh air from, you know, just being in plays and learning characters and stuff. You kind of had to put yourself into a role when you were reading out the presentation. It was good. It was unique.
You certainly did that. Enjoyed it. And the get-up and all these suits. Katie, you're a bit of an expert in this field then, a five-time champion. You're the big dog here in terms of, and Ulster as well. You know, phenomenal. You've really enjoyed your time at it.
Yeah, no, I've been at it a good while now. I think my first ever score was when I was about 11 or 12. So been at it a long while, and I just love score. Like, it's something you look forward to every year because you've new songs to learn, and it's just, it's a bit of crack.
Yeah. And Matthew, you play a wee bit of guitar. If you can sing as well, you could be that could be your number next year. I'm trying to get him back in this guitar, Katie. You could maybe give him a few lessons. What do you think? Yeah? Maybe not. Do you know, folks, I'm really want to hear your two pieces, and we have a bit of time, but I'm just conscious to get them in, because myself and Tomás were waffling on about rules there. Time is always the enemy in this show. Katie, I'd love to hear your piece first that you did for, and just tell us a quick bit about the song.
So the song is called Donalogue.
Yes, that's it. Donalogue it is then. Katie, you take it away whenever you're ready.
Oh, Donalogue, my hair hard fighting. Bear my hand, lads, not gentlemen. Be a good feeding, lady, good smarky. It's neen regret, marchele lapagat. My mother ordered to shun you today, tomorrow, and on Sunday, to late in vain or spilled milk grieving, closing the door on a bygone thieving. If you come at all, come when stars are peeping. Knock at the door that makes no squeaking. My mother will ask you to name your people, and all I'll say to the night wind weeping. Oh, Donalogue, you'll not find me lazy, not like some high-born expensive lady. I'll do your milking and I'll nurse your baby.
but you were lying beside the sheep shed as day was dying. I whistled and called you 12 times repeated, and all I heard was the young lambs bleating. You took what's before me and what's behind me, took east and west when you wouldn't mind me. Sun, moon and stars you have taken, and God himself if I'm not mistaken. Oh, Donnell, when you cross the ocean, take me with you when you are going. At fair or at market, you'll be well looked after, and you shall sleep with the Greek king's daughter.
Top class, lovely, Jamie. You enjoyed that. How did you pick a song here? Because you get the real, you know, the score, the history, you know, immigration, Ireland. It's got such a lovely,
yeah,
an historical feel to the song as well. Do you pick the song, or?
It's a combination of me and Mammy. There's a lot of
Mags out there.
Stuff she is.
All right, yeah.
There's a lot of looking through different things and listening to lots of stuff. And then we love to run it by Fergus then, just in case, to make sure it's all good.
Yes.
But you have to check the history of the songs, and I always like to go for something really sad. It's always fun to kind of do the sad ones.
Yes.
Usually about, there's the war and the lovers, and all the themes are, they're really fun to sing, like just to bring out the emotion of the songs. I just really like
it. Are you available for hire?
If you want to.
I'd listen. What a beautiful sound to have playing anywhere at any time. Do you play anywhere else, Katie? Do you do anything?
I don't do many gigs, but I do sing in a choir and stuff, and I'm going to plug it while I'm here. Donna Young Women's Choir are having their Christmas concert in December. And then my quartet are having their first ever concert on the 18th of December in Conwell Parish.
Yeah.
And you can get tickets on our Instagram, Kilter Canola.
Very good. First class. But just Matthew's piece. Matthew, that the way you came to decide, is there different pieces out there? Fergus, how does that come together, the piece that Matthew's about to do for us?
Well, the piece that Matthew's about to do goes back to a man called John Keenan. He was from County Leash. He wrote a good number of songs and recitations. He died a very, very young man, died at the age of 42. And that's how I know that around about the date that he died, the piece that Matthew's going to do is about 200 years old. So I think the piece almost speaks for itself, especially the way that Matthew does it. So maybe just let Matthew
Yeah, we're going to just fix the mics because Matthew stands up and sits down in this show. Briggs, if he could get in around you there, if you pull out that other seat, just we'll get Matthew in the position here. Matthew, once you have this done, is that it in the head forever? Is that like a song then? These pieces.
Hopefully, it'll stick with me. But
listen, it's a beautiful piece. Mm. We can take this away whenever you want it. This is your recitation that won the Donegal title, if you want to go ahead whenever you're ready.
Right. One winter's day, long, long ago, when I was a little fellow, a piper wandered to our door, grey-headed, blind and yellow, and how glad was my young heart, though earth and sky looked dreary, to see the stranger and his dog, Perpinch and Keith O'Leary.
And when he stowed away his bag, cross-barred with green and yellow, I thought and said, in Ireland's ground, there's not so fine a fellow. And Finn and Burke, and Sean McGee, and Eilie, Kate, and Mary rushed in with panting haste to see and welcome Keith O'Leary. Oh God, be with those happy times. Oh God, be with my childhood when I bareheaded roamed all day, bird nesting in the wildwood. I'll not forget those sunny hours, however years may vary. I'll not forget my early friends, nor honest Keith O'Leary. Per Keith and Pinch slept well at night, and in the morning early, he called me up to hear him play The Wind That Shakes the Barley. And then he stroked my flaxen hair and cried, God mark my dearie. And how I wept when he said farewell and think of Keith O'Leary. Well, seasons came and seasons went, and still old Keith was not forgotten. Although we thought him dead and gone and in the cold grave rotten. And often when I walked and talked with Eilie, Kate or Mary, we thought of childhood's rosy hours and prayed for Keith O'Leary. Well, 20 summers had gone past and June's red sun was sinking when I, a man, sat by my door of 20 sad things thinking. A little dog came up the way. His gait was slow and weary, and at his tail, a layman limped. 'Twas Pinch and Keith O'Leary. Old Keith, but oh, how woe be gone. His form is bowed and bending. His fleshless hands are stiff and wan. Aye, time is even blending. The colours on a threadbare bag and Pinch is twice as hairy and tin spare as in first I saw himself and Keith O'Leary. God's blessing here, the wanderer cried. Far, far be hell's black viper. Does anybody hereabouts remember Keith the piper? With swelling heart, I grasped his hand. The old man murmured, Jerry, are you the silky-headed child that loved per Keith O'Leary? Yes, yes, I said. The wanderer wept if his heart was breaking. And where, avec Macreech, is all the merry-making I found here 20 years ago? My tale, I sighed, is mighty weary. Enough to say there's none but me to welcome Keith O'Leary. Mavrone, Mavrone, the old man cried and wrung his hands in sorrow. Pray let me in, a storm I cree, and I'll go home tomorrow. My peace is made, I'll calmly leave this world so cold and dreary. And you, yes, you shall keep my pipes and dog. And please, pray for Keith O'Leary. With Pinch, I watched his bed that night. Next day, his wish was granted. He died. And Father James was brought. And the Requiem Mass was chanted. The neighbours came to dig his grave near Eilie, Kate and Mary. And there he sleeps. His last, final sleep. God rest you, Keith O'Leary. Gormaigad.
Yeah, very good, Matthew. I don't know how you do that. That's first class, folks. Listen, this is a GA show. You are the score. We're all part of the one thing. Fergus, it's brilliant to shine a light on that. I'll be honest, I'd heard bits and pieces about score. It's the first time I've seen it. And seeing all the clubs, all the colours on that, you really got, it's just another way the GA competes. And it's fantastic for for everybody to get involved and to show their talents.
Yes, Brendan, and again, I would like to thank you very, very much for... I think you come into the thing, you came to a couple of the events yourself and you saw it firsthand. And to get an opportunity to have, on a show like your own, it's really, really great, you know. And the score is like a family almost within the GAA, and it's a nationwide, it's a national thing, you know. I would know people at all levels of the country. It's a bit like in football, you get to know people and you get to know, as you would know, all over the country.
Yeah.
I would know people all over the country more through score and stuff like that. Sure. And I had the privilege of doing Fara T at two All-Ireland finals, one in Athlone and one down in Killarney, and doing, you know, the quiz master and stuff like that. But there's nothing to beat a good old recitation like you heard, or a good song like you heard. And I was brought up with my grandparents, and that's where the love came for me, in an old house where there was very, you know, it was just an old chahar, as they call it.
Yeah.
And when I went to score first, I heard the old songs, I heard the old recitations and all that sort of thing. And just would like to say as well that I was at a funeral, unfortunately, on Saturday, of a very good friend, Seamus Rogers. And Seamus Rogers from Naimura, a great man in the GAA, former chairman of the county board, and a great scoreman. Thanks. And again, Míle Bí His Brendan for all.
Yeah, God rest. Listen, first, thanks so much, Jim. Kind words. Katie and Massey, really appreciate you both coming up. Keep up the good work. Thanks so much for illuminating the DL debate this evening. That's one. Love, 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 love